Embercare Media from TWR and InterHealth Worldwide invite you to take a moment for your health. You're pregnant. You're on international assignment. It won't be long before the scheduled arrival time of your baby. Should you plan on the baby being born here, in this place where you're now living? Should you plan on moving to another city or country for the birth? Or should you plan on flying back to your home country for the birthing time? They're all good questions, and there is no single answer that fits every situation, because each of those questions opens up more questions that need to be answered as part of your decision-making process. Money would be high on the list of things to consider. Do you have enough in your bank account to cover all expenses? Do you have enough to cover moving temporarily to another city or country for the birth of your baby? Can you afford to fly back to the country you think of as home? Do you have medical insurance? Does it cover all local or nearby medical expenses? And don't forget the legal aspects of a baby born abroad. How far away is the embassy or consulate for your country? What do you need to do to register your child as born abroad but a citizen of your home country? Be sure to check the most recent regulations. Some countries have recently changed some of their rules, so don't assume that you know the rules. Double-check. If possible, have those rules in writing. If you choose to give birth locally, or even in a nearby city, what do you know about the facilities? Have you seen the hospital? Have you seen the maternity clinic? Have you met any of the medical staff? Can your local hospital or clinic handle emergency birthing situations? I know you don't want to think about the possibility of an emergency, and I know that the experts tell us that about 95% or more of births can take place without any special medical intervention. You don't want to be paranoid, but it's a good idea to be prepared just in case. Is there more than one doctor nearby? Have you talked with each of them? Are you comfortable and confident with at least one of them? How about a qualified midwife? Is there one available? Do you know this person personally? Have you had conversations? Do you know their experience? How about the local clinic or hospital? Are there other expats in your town who have been treated at the local medical facility? Have their experiences been positive? Spend some time talking with them about their experiences. Can you visit the hospital or clinic yourself? A casual visit would be good so that you can get to know the staff a little and talk to those whom you might have to rely on. While you're there, look around at the facilities. Don't act like a nosy inspector, but as a friendly, interested visitor. Does everything appear to be clean and sterile? Do the staff sound like they are fully trained? You never know when a baby will decide to arrive, so you will want to be sure that the maternity team and facilities are available all day and all night, every day. You will want to be sure an experienced obstetrician is available at all those times, one who is able to carry out a cesarean section if necessary. You, of course, already know your blood type, so you will also want to be sure that the maternity clinic or hospital has a supply of your blood type from a trusted donor. This is especially true if your blood type is Rh negative, as this blood type is quite rare and might not be available locally. Is your sending organization satisfied with your choice? You may find, after giving this location a lot of careful thought, that you would rather have your baby arrive somewhere else. That could be the capital city of the country where you are currently living, or at least a large city with good hospital facilities. It might be possible or advisable to move to a neighboring country that has better health facilities. If you have the finances, you may decide you would rather fly back to your home country for the great event. If this possibility is likely for you, be sure to check with the airlines. You will need to know their regulations about carrying passengers who are pregnant. Many airlines may be hesitant to accept you as a passenger if you're in your final month. Every airline has slightly different regulations, and they change from time to time, so be sure to ask. In any case, they will probably require a letter from your doctor saying it is okay for you to travel. Whether you're going to stay where you are or travel, keep some of the following in mind. As the end of your pregnancy comes closer, try to get a few rest periods during your day. It can also help to practice slow, deep breathing. Not only is this relaxing, It can also help during labor. Think about who you want to be with you when you are in labor. It's possible that you may not have much choice in this. In some countries, even the father is not allowed to view or be in the same room during delivery. A little advanced research on the subject would be a good idea. Contractions may start a few days before the actual birth time, but those contractions will be several minutes or even hours apart. This is your signal that the time is coming closer. When those tightening feelings become stronger, when they become regular, and when they happen more frequently, that is when labor is starting. For some women, those early contractions, some like to call them practice contractions, may be experienced many days or even some weeks before labor actually begins. This is normal, even if it does seem a little confusing. Sometimes the water bag holding the baby can burst before labor begins. Usually labor will start very soon after that happens. If labor doesn't start within 24 hours of the water breaking, then seek some medical help. If labor does not start when your waters break, the baby will then not have a barrier to infection. This is why it is usually suggested to induce labor at such a time. However, most often the water breaks during labor. When labor starts, try to relax and take deep breaths during the contractions and rest between them. This will help you to save your strength and help the labor progress more quickly. Some consider hypnobirthing as an option. If you're interested, searching with Google on the web will lead you to more information on that topic. The first stage of labor begins with the first of the strong contractions until the neck of the womb, the cervix, opens and the baby starts moving down through the birth canal. The time for this stage can vary between a few hours to more than 20 hours. Every mother experiences this differently. Often the timing will be different with a second or third child. By the way, during this first part of labor, be sure to go to the toilet often so that your bladder and bowel are as empty as possible when the baby starts arriving. You may have some thoughts about your options for pain relief. There is no quick answer to that question. Talk this over with your doctor or midwife. There are many pros and cons to each of the pain-relieving drugs that are available. Well in advance of this time, it would be good to do your own research on what you think would be best for you and also what is available where your baby will be born. And of course, talk about this to the doctor who will be attending to you. Next comes what they call the second stage of labor. This is when the baby is actually born. Most often this stage will not last for more than an hour or so. Be prepared and know what to expect during this stage. Long outward breaths will help the baby to move down the birth canal. When you feel a contraction coming, push down with your stomach muscles to assist your body in helping the baby to move further down. Work with the doctors and midwives and nurses who are with you during this time. Follow their advice. When they tell you to push, push. When they tell you to relax and tell you how to breathe, do what they tell you. Your doctor or midwife will be watching for the first appearance of the baby's head and the position of the baby. They will be watching to be sure that everything is progressing as it should be doing. Please note that before labor begins, if it is determined that the baby is in what they call the breech position, that is, it is in a position to come out feet first or buttocks first rather than head first, then the birth is likely to be more complicated. This is true also if the baby is found to be lying sideways in the mother before labor begins. In both cases, the birth should happen in a well-equipped hospital. We've looked at stages 1 and 2 of labor. The third stage begins when the baby is born. After this, the placenta comes out. This is also known as the afterbirth. This usually happens by itself within 5 minutes to an hour after the baby is born. If there is a lot of bleeding during this time, or if the placenta does not come out within an hour, then urgent medical attention is needed. But of course, your doctor will be keeping track of that. Now you have a baby. You've waited a long time for this moment. The most important thing at this time is that the baby is breathing and that the baby is kept warm. It is good for the baby to be cuddled close to the mother. Breast milk is the best nutrition for your newborn baby. This is especially true in countries where you may not be sure of the quality of bottled milk. It's important to begin feeding soon after birth and continue to breastfeed about every 2 hours during the day and night. This helps your body produce the milk your baby needs. In addition, get as much rest as possible, drink plenty of fluids, and eat a good diet that is rich in calcium to help your body produce milk. For some mothers, breastfeeding is a difficult option. For some physical reason, milk production just isn't enough to satisfy the needs of a baby. And so, bottle feeding becomes the only option. Or the bottle feeding could be an extra feeding in combination with breastfeeding where the breastfeeding is not sufficient. Before this time comes, be sure to take the time to research what is available for bottle feeding if it should be necessary. In some countries, because of local customs, the hospital staff may put pressure on you to bottle feed. But remember, the choice is yours. If you choose to breastfeed and there are no physical problems for you to do so, then that is your choice, and your choice should be respected and accepted. Now you have your baby. Your life may be turned upside down, but it is a rewarding time. If you need help or advice, don't be afraid to ask for it. Enjoy every moment of your time together with your baby. A Moment for Your Health is presented by Member Care Media from TWR. For links to more information, check out our website at www.membercaremedia.com